This is BTV, Business Television. Discover companies to invest in.
Coming up this week, cannabis. From high-tech oil extraction and testing to next-generation products. And stay tuned for the edible that's number one in California.
Hello, I'm Taylor Tone.
And I'm Jessica Katrachak. Welcome to BTV Business Television.
In the ever-expanding cannabis industry, a lot of attention has been paid to the big growers.
But we're going to check out some other aspects of the cannabis business that are turning out to be very profitable.
When we spoke with this analyst from Mackey Research, he explained where he thinks the action is going to be in 2019 for cannabis sector investors.
Essentially, when we looked at the industry, we were looking for companies that wanted to move beyond the grow. So what we were worried about in, with companies that were just doing pure cultivation was the fact that cannabis is going to be commoditized at one point. At that point, you're going to be competing only on price. If you're competing only on price, then where's the value add? So we wanted to look at companies that could add, have value added services.
In the highly competitive cannabis marketplace, the jockeying for market share, brand recognition, and staying power is making for a fascinating race. A few companies have already become well-known players simply because they're large, but that doesn't mean they're the most innovative or even the most interesting. And really, what could be more interesting than cannabis-infused chocolate? With the legalization of edibles later this year in Canada, Neil Murata, CEO of Indiva, explains how his company's product lineup will be expanding.
Indiva's product lineup consists at this point of dry flower and pre-rolls. We're also adding oil tinctures and gel capsules, and later in this year we expect to add a variety of edible products now that the regulations have come out. This would include chocolate. We have a joint venture and a licensing agreement with a company called Bang that makes award-winning cannabis chocolate. We also have cannabis-infused sugar and salt products. And I would expect also that we would offer other derivative products like vape pens, for instance, later on this year.
Well, it's not surprising that one of Indiva's co-founders is Pete Young, the company's master grower with 15-plus years of cannabis experience and advocacy. How did the company's other co-founder, CEO Neil Murata, enter the picture?
My background really is in capital markets and corporate finance. And when the regulations went through big changes 5 years ago, it became clear to me that new medical model had the potential to be the framework for what could potentially be a legal recreational market. I certainly never expected it to happen this quickly. And now we have access to all Canadians to purchase our products, not just medical patients.
The company's business model reflects their analysis of how they believe legal cannabis markets develop as they mature.
Broadly speaking, when you look at mature markets, roughly half the market is in dry flower and the other half would be considered derivative or concentrate products. When we look at mature markets south of the border, we see sort of 10 to 20% market share in the edible space. For Indiva, we think this is a way to bring Canadians into the cannabis market. Let's say those folks that haven't tried cannabis very often are curious to try it, but don't want to smoke.
To supply non-smokable cannabis products, you need a source of cannabis extracts and derivatives, a reliable source.
We do plan to do our own extraction and build our own extraction facility here on site in London, but we also have an agreement with a company called Metafarm. Our deal with them essentially is short-term solution for us to produce oil. We'll send them dry flower. Metafarm will produce oils and oil derivative products, send them back to Indiva, and then we'll provide them to our patients and customers.
To keep up with demand, expansion plans for 2019 also include an additional 40,000 square feet of production capacity. Not a problem for Indiva.
We had over $24 million of cash on our balance sheet at last quarter. Our expansion is fully funded. And we expect to generate significant revenue in 2019. Management and insiders own over 20% of the company, so our money's where our mouth is. We're fully committed to growing our business, having a successful company for the long term here in London, Ontario.
But while putting down roots in southern Ontario, the company is looking much further afield.
It seems like cannabis rules are being relaxed or changing, and legalization, whether it's in medical and recreational markets, are moving in the right direction for Indiva's business globally. So we're very excited to participate in Canada and also outside of Canada going forward.
Indiva intends to acquire a cultivation license in Denmark that will give them a strategic entry into the EU countries as the legalization juggernaut continues to gain momentum. After the break, who do you think a cannabis CEO would want to impress the most with his products?
We work every day to make products that we like to say would make our grandmothers proud.
And coming up later, a company not afraid to dream big, really big.
There is really no Coke or Pepsi yet in our industry.
We'll be right back. You're watching BTV.
Welcome back to BTV. A year ago, this next company was number 12 in its category. Today, they're number one by a wide margin in the cannabis edibles market in California, the largest legal cannabis market in the world. Plus Products makes gummies. So how do you create such a successful brand and become a revenue-generating company so quickly? To find out, we spoke with the company's two co-founders, Justin Crunchy Quinn and Jake Highmark.
We started in edibles because we thought that was the place where there's a lot of things that can go wrong. And if you get them right, what you've done is actually create a great brand.
However, on the way to making gummies, Jake and Crunchy made cannabis gum with a little help from Jake's parents.
The only space that we could afford was his parents' free garage. So we moved there and we built a makeshift clean room for the first 6 months of the company. It was basically R&D facility, office, manufacturing facility, packaging facility, it was everything.
Gum eventually led to gummies. With his knowledge of cooking from his career as a chef and his experience in the cannabis industry, Crunchy was well aware of what it would take to make a great gummy.
These look really good. Cooking, especially at a high level, is the blend of art and science. It's the ability to give people the experience that they want, the experience that they didn't even know they wanted. A lot of the infusion process is extremely scientific, and the flavors and how we do special editions and how people feel about the products, that's the artistry.
What we've done is taken gummies, which can be a category where it's tossed into different bags or boxes and it can sort of not be in an attractive format, and we've made them really small, which was hard to do to make them precisely dosed, and then put them in a really convenient tin. When you turn the top off of the tin, what you have is all of the gummies right there and their beauty and their deliciousness. It's a really important part of the customer experience that has made Plus Products so successful in California.
Looking good and tasting great are only part of the equation.
One of the hardest things to do really well in a manufactured cannabis product is to get the dosing exactly right every time. If a product is too strong, people will end up in the couch and never want to try the product again. If the product's too weak, you don't move at all. And so getting that balance really between the two is the most essential thing to the customer.
And having the right selection of flavors has definitely helped win over customers.
We look at what people are enjoying in other parts of the market, not just gummies, just, you know, flavor trends, things that people are really into. Now with the special editions, we look at the short-term trends and also things that we've never seen before that we know that we can actually execute. So we do both seasonal and we do things based around holidays because you're selling an experience. It's tapping into the desires of people around specific times.
And what about tapping into markets beyond California?
As more and more states legalize, it's really important to think through what's going to make a successful national brand. At Plus, we do one thing. We make manufactured cannabis products, and it puts us in a unique position to actually do that same thing in every state and in other countries in a way that is simple for customers, it's simple for partners, our ingredient suppliers understand it, and the focus of the company is all aligned on one goal, which is making really great products.
But with mainstream success comes responsibility.
We think there's an opportunity for the entire cannabis industry to actually bring us from where we are today to be a more mature, responsible, and adult industry. If you look at the alcohol industry, they put a lot of time and effort to make sure that drunk driving wasn't something that people wanted to do. At Plus, we hope to be a leader in those companies who are helping others to understand the benefits, but also some of the potential downsides of cannabis. We think all cannabis companies should do the same. We work every day to make products that we like to say would make our grandmothers proud. There's a lot of heart and soul that goes into every single product that comes out of our factory, and that's why in every package it says made with love in California.
Plus Products has recently launched mints, and with the acquisition of Good Co-op, we'll be selling baked goods, also made with love.
Coming up, why some people think cannabis has a very tasty future.
Edibles is by far the biggest game changer, which we're all looking forward to participating in that market.
We'll be right back. You're watching BTV.
Welcome back to BTV. With over 60,000 medical cannabis patients and 4 recreational cannabis brands, CanTrust continues to evolve by launching new and innovative products. And of course, building trust.
I spent 20 years with ING Direct, which ended up in 9 countries around the world, 30 million clients around the world. That ultimately became an international business. I think is very, very relevant to the space that I'm in here today at CanTrust. We were started by pharmacists, and innovation for us is key. We have PhDs and people who are innovating in the plant so that cannabis and cannabis-based products can elevate the lives of people all around the world.
Expanding globally is something Peter Aceto is bringing to CanTrust through intelligent partnerships.
StenoCare was the first cannabis company to do an IPO in the European Union, and it was very, very successful. We're already shipping cannabis products to that marketplace. We also have a significant interest in Canatrek, which is an Australian-based company. It's also a gateway for us to expand our business with Canatrek in the Asia markets as well.
Earning customers' trust is one thing, but being recognized at the Canadian Cannabis Awards is another.
17,000 consumers chose us and our products and our service to be the best in the country. We won 5 product awards, the best product in those categories. We were finalists in several categories, and this all laddered up to the pinnacle of being the licensed producer of the year.
With a variety of brands and products already available, CanTrust is continuing to innovate for the expected edibles market coming later this year.
We're very excited about BrewBuds. We have patents in multiple countries and are making those global patents today. Imagine making a tea or a coffee in your single-serve brewer at home that has cannabis in it.
CanTrust has approved permits to add another 390,000 square feet to their 450,000 square foot perpetual harvest greenhouse facility in the Niagara region. CanTrust continues to grow and innovate in the ever-expanding global market. You can follow their symbol, TRST, on the TSX. We know big isn't always better, or even the most profitable. And though all the headlines were initially focused on the big cannabis growers, the people with their eye on a different prize are now starting to get noticed. Kelowna, BC-based Valens Growworks is known for providing best-in-class extraction services and product development for leading LPs. And secondly, they're testing an analytics lab holding global accreditations and endorsements by a multi-billion dollar U.S. scientific instruments company.
The big winners in the cannabis space right now, I truly believe, are shifting away from cultivation into processing or brands, because those are the two real aspects that are going to win. Branding and processing, because at the end of the day, only one group can be the low-cost producer, and that's a competition I don't want to participate in.
As a defensive linebacker who attended university on a football scholarship, Tyler Robson has a knack for anticipating where the ball is likely to end up.
With my science background at the University of Saskatchewan, basically built the idea of Valens. So we're actually the first extraction company in Canada to come with a license based on derivatives.
Valens has interest in participating in the cultivation space for the purpose of creating more consistent supply. But they are primarily focused on collaborating with licensed producers, looking for a partner that can produce high-quality cannabis extracts and derivatives for them.
our company's vision is to really be an ally to a lot of the licensed producers in Canada and provide them a means to an end to really help them put the best premium product on the shelf for the consumers. What really sets Valens apart is the fact that we're the only ones in Canada that offers different types of extractions, whether it's CO2, subcritical or supercritical. We have ethyl alcohol or ethanol, hydrocarbon, and we're also launching a solventless line.
With a variety of extraction processes at their disposal, Valens is able to engineer exactly what's needed for the end product.
There's different extraction methods. What we've learned over the years, because we've been extracting longer and more often than anybody else in the space, we've really tailored our proprietary methods and really customized the end product to put the best product on the shelf.
The demand for cannabis oils is bound to be on the upswing as the next phase in cannabis legalization unfolds.
Now that Health Canada has laid out edibles and beverages, we think it's an absolute game changer. The fact that we can bring different products to market and really give people options of delivery method. Because right now we're stuck to flower and oil. Edibles is by far the biggest game changer, which we're all looking forward to participating in that market.
Many companies thought they would do their own oil extraction, but according to Mackie research analyst Greg McLeish, now they're not so sure.
They're realizing that by having a company that's an expert in oil extraction, that's the best route to go to get their products to market. The other thing is we're seeing a shortage of high quality extraction capability. Valens has 150,000 kilograms of processing capacity. This will allow any LP that wants to get products to market on time to be able to do that.
The extraction partnerships that Valens has already established include a number of Canadian companies and Terraquino, producer of Source Technology in Happy Apple. But as a premier cannabis testing facility, there's another partnership that Tyler Robson's very proud of.
Another partnership that we love is the Thermo Fisher Scientific. They're a $100 billion US market cap, and they named us the Center of Excellence for Plant-Based Science because we're so much further ahead than everybody else. And we really like working with them to kind of set the standard in Canada and also implement it globally. We're the first lab in Canada to get the ISO 17025 accreditation for our validated testing systems. We go above and beyond what Health Canada has mandated as far as testing protocols go. Right now, you only have to test for 96 pesticides. We can test for about 400.
Tyler Robson has a clear idea of what it's going to take for Valens to be successful.
Valens needs to be known for two things: best-in-class third-party extraction and globally recognized analytical testing.
Valens will soon be European Union Good Manufacturing Practices certified, the key to opening the door to yet another growing market. Coming up, fresh thinking, inspiring next generation products.
Cannabis is a therapeutic product, and that's why I think health and wellness is really our focus.
We'll be right back. You're watching BTV.
Welcome back to BTV. In an industry that is rapidly changing and starting to mature, everyone's looking for a way to stay ahead of the game. So when 48 North Cannabis Corp acquired Good & Green last fall, two veterans of the cannabis industry decided to combine their skill sets and run the merged company as co-CEOs. Allison Gordon is an award-winning marketer, and Jeanette Vandermeerel, formerly of Good & Green, is the founder of the Green Organic Dutchman and a lifetime agriculturalist.
48 North's vision is to be a health and wellness company focused on high quality, organic, next generation products.
In the US, about 60 to 70% of the sales are the extracted products, so the edibles, the vapes, the creams, all of those products. And we'll see that happen in Canada as it's allowed.
Edible regulations were released in December. Next generation products will be legal in fall of 2019. 48 North has zeroed in on who they want to reach out to with their next generation brands and products.
Women make up 48% of cannabis users, which I think does surprise people. We're really trying to be focused on who we are and who we're speaking to. And a huge part of that focus is our emphasis on the female market, which I think is a huge differentiator.
Another notable differentiator is 48 North's commitment to outdoor cultivation. 48 North currently has 5,000 kilograms of indoor grow production in Kirkland Lake and Brantford, Ontario. The outdoor cultivation of 3.7 million square feet is expected to yield 40,000 kilograms of dried organic cannabis at the lowest cost per gram in the country.
We're so excited about the farm. It is huge capacity and obviously much lower cost than growing indoors. I'm so excited to grow outdoors, sun-grown, organic cannabis.
Jeanette's solid experience is matched by a strong belief in the therapeutic value of cannabis.
Cannabis is a therapeutic product, and that's why health and wellness is really our focus. I don't like the strict delineation between medical and recreational, because I think no matter why you're using it, it is therapeutic. Whether you're using it for spasticity for Parkinson's, or whether to relax and sleep better or enjoy time with your friends, it's still a therapeutic product.
As 48 North prepares to roll out their products in 2019, Allison reflects on how 2018 got the company to where it is now.
2018 was an amazing year for us at 48 North. We raised $27 million, $10 million of that non-brokered. We got our sales license. We took the company public. We got our extract license. We acquired Good & Green and a whole bunch of other things, including an equity investment by Canopy Growth. We think this really shows that there's a lot of respect and credibility to what we're doing. Along with that, we also have a supply agreement with Canopy, as well as a commitment for distribution of our products.
And just as importantly, a right-sized player.
We're not massive in size and scale, which also means massive expenses and operating costs. But we're also not just a little family-run organization. We're quite well capitalized with major partners like Canopy and Mother & Clone out of the US. I believe we're the right size for success. We haven't bit off more than we can chew. We don't have insane operating costs. And that's really our goal. How do we be profitable, build our authentic brand, and get our costs even lower as we move towards the outdoor grow?
In a relatively young industry, the real opportunity is pretty clear to both the farmer and the marketer.
The long-term vision for 48 North is certainly to be the trusted brand that people bring home.
There is really no Coke or Pepsi yet in our industry, not just in Canada, but even out of the US. And you have a few companies like 48 North that are well capitalized, that are profitable, that don't have massive overhead, but have all the recipes to create that consumer brand that will be adored and loved by many.
Will 48 North come up with next generation brands and products loved by customers? You can track their progress on the TSX Venture Exchange. Look for their symbol, it's NRTH.
Before we wrap up, a few words of advice from this cannabis analyst.
You want to take a look at the quality of the management team, their track record, their operational track record, and actually follow up with making sure some of their claims are actually true.
The cannabis sector continues to evolve with yet another game-changing development.
In December 2018, Congress passed a farm bill that included, with some restrictions, the nationwide legalization of commercial hemp production.
Like cannabis, hemp is also a source of CBD, the non-psychoactive ingredient finding more and more health and wellness applications.
The legalization will certainly promote more research into CBD, something all the players in the industry welcome.
Thanks for joining us today. For BTV, I'm Taylor Tone.
And I'm Jessica Katrachak.
Until next time, may your portfolio prosper.
This is BTV, Business Television. Discover companies to invest in.
Coming up this week, the Yukon, Ecuador, Nevada, Newfoundland, and Eastern Europe. Five companies with one thing in common, gold.
Hello, I'm Taylor Tone.
And I'm Jessica Katrachak. Welcome to BTV Business Television.
With gold hovering comfortably above $1,300 an ounce, we thought it would be a good time to check in on some gold mining companies.
While they all welcome an upward trend, they're well aware that the only predictable thing about gold is its unpredictability.
But some analysts believe there are indicators worth paying attention to. We recently asked Frank Holmes for his take on gold.
In the world of gold, I always say there's two drivers. There's the fear trade, which is real interest rates and inflation, and love trade. And love is about 70% of the demand. So it's so important to look at China's GDP per capita because it's highly correlated with love demand. So what's happening now is that love demand really hasn't slowed down, but we're seeing peak gold, peak supply from mines. They're falling and there's no exploration. There's very few real discoveries. And the path of new supply coming on is maybe a decade away. So I think we're in a contraction period, and why we have world-class investors all of a sudden coming out and commenting that they're buying gold, because there's lack of money going into the space and you have peak supply, but the China, India, and the Middle East, they continue to have rising GDP per capita.
Nearly 500 years after Spanish conquistadors started mining gold in Ecuador, an exploration company is attempting to rediscover two sources of that gold. Aurania's flagship asset combines years of historical research with the expertise of two PhD geologists and their winning track records in Ecuador.
I've got 33 years in the business now, worked in 19 different countries. My previous success story, though, of course, in Ecuador was with a company that I founded in 2001 called Aurelian Resources. And Aurelian found a 13 million ounce gold deposit, which is going to go in production in September of this year.
After making the Fruta del Norte discovery in 2006, Aurelian Resources was sold for $1.2 billion in 2008. But Keith Barron wasn't done yet.
I retired for about 3 weeks afterwards, and then I got terribly bored and decided I had to do something else and decided to go back to Ecuador. So really my success with Aurelian bankrolled the research and the startup really of Aurania.
The extensive research Keith and a history professor conducted reinforced his belief that there were gold deposits to be found somewhere in Aurania's 2,000 square kilometer property. But how convinced initially was Aurania's president, Richard Spencer?
There was some skepticism. I was excited about the concept, the historical concept. But I'm an exploration geologist, so my attitude was, if Keith is right about the location of those historic mines being on the property, that would be fantastic.
Richard is convinced that history has left clues for geologists to find.
We know that we will find those areas because the old spoil heaps would be shedding a little bit of gold into the rivers, and our exploration will pick up that gold. I've worked in the adjacent area, as has Keith, where he made the Fruta del Norte gold discovery, and this is just an extension of that same belt.
Analyst Mark Reichman gives his take on Aurania and why he believes in the possibility of finding another great discovery.
When I think about it, there's really no better management team that's suited to explore in this region than Richard and Keith, who made a number of major discoveries at their previous company. It really hinges on success in replicating the discovery of mineral resources in the Lost Cities QDQ project area.
And just how high are the stakes?
We're aiming at tens of millions of ounces of gold and certainly tens of billions of pounds of copper.
At this stage, exploration has been a down and dirty process called stream sediment sampling.
We go into a stream, we take a couple of shovelfuls of material sitting on the bottom of the stream. We can analyze the clay, and the clay will tell us if there's something that's upstream that's weathering into that drainage and providing metals downstream. It's similar to panning gold and looking for the source. You follow it back upstream, follow the numbers, should be getting higher and higher and higher, and then eventually going upstream, they'll cut off. That means that you've walked over the place and you've gone too far. So you backtrack a little bit and see if you can find what the source of the anomaly is. And in most cases, we find it within 10 minutes. Something that's outcropping, it's actually physically on the surface.
The geological data from stream sediment sampling has enabled the Orania team to identify 12 targets for scout drilling, beginning with Crunchy Hill.
Crunchy Hill, which will be our first area that we'll scout drill, it'll probably be between sort of five and seven holes of about 300, 350 meters each.
Crunchy Hill has a lot of characteristics of an epithermal gold-silver deposit. It's very, very similar to Fruta del Norte, which was the deposit that I was involved with finding in 2006.
But scout drilling is a long game strategy, so the plan for 2019 is to look beyond Crunchy Hill.
Drill is something in the industry we call the truth machine, because you really don't know until you actually start sampling the subsurface and seeing what you have.
Scout drilling is expected to begin soon. The results are highly anticipated, and not just by the company and existing shareholders either.
I know that all the majors are reading our stuff. At some point, I suspect that we'll get a phone call. Wouldn't talk about doing a deal with anybody right now because we need to realize more value in the ground. We're elephant hunting, and that's what really, really excites me.
Will they be able to do it again, find another multi-million ounce gold discovery and sell it for over $1 billion? You be the judge. Follow the ongoing exploration at Orania.com.
Coming up next, a mid-tier gold company in the making.
Dundee will be about a 350,000 ounce gold equivalent producer.
And later, we all know that Newfoundlanders are friendly, but did you know they're also mining friendly?
It's really good to be in a place where you're not fighting every inch to get permitted.
We'll be right back. You're watching BTV.
Welcome back to BTV. We discovered a relatively unknown company on the track to become a mid-tier gold producer. Dundee Precious Metals is an international gold mining company. And as the company continues to optimize its assets, its true value will become increasingly apparent, according to President and CEO Rick Howes, the man at the top who literally started at the bottom.
Actually broke rock and did all those things that we as mining engineers dreamed of doing when we were young kids. I truly entered the industry at the front line of the business as a miner, essentially became a supervisor and worked my way up. I have a mining engineering degree as a background, but really spent my career mostly in the front end of the business, learning how the mining really makes the value for the business. I'm certainly proud of the team and what we've been able to accomplish so far. We have a strong management group, and I think we're able to execute successfully.
Dundee's business is spread across three continents. In Bulgaria, their Chelopech underground gold mine is in operation, and the Krumovgrad open pit gold mine will be in production during the first quarter of this year. Dundee is involved in several exploration projects in Serbia, including the Timok gold project. They also operate the Sumab smelter in Namibia, which processes concentrate from Chelopech and other third parties. And in Nunavik, Canada, their interest includes a 10% holding in Sabina Gold and Silver.
We acquired Chelopech in 2003 and essentially went through a significant investment to transform the operation, essentially quadrupling its production, cutting its costs in half. It now produces about 190 to 200,000 ounces of gold and about 35 to 38 million pounds of copper.
Dundee's road to success at Chelopech was paved with innovation.
Innovation played a big role in our work in transforming Chelopech. We went through a change in the mining methods from a sub-level cave to underground open stoping. We've also introduced a fair amount of digital innovation around the operations and management of the operations at Chelopech.
Production at Chelopech in Bulgaria is strategically linked to the Sumab smelter in Namibia.
Chelopech produces a concentrate that's considered complex and requires a specialty smelter to treat it.
We bought the Sumeb smelter in 2010 to essentially process the expanded copper concentrate that we were producing from Chelopech. So it is a specialty smelter, and it essentially takes almost all of Chelopech concentrate plus a significant amount of third-party concentrates as well.
The company was well aware that Sumeb was an acquisition that needed significant upgrades to get the job done.
That work was completed in 2016. We've grown throughput by more than 50%. We continue to optimize the performance of the smelter to transform it into a positive free cash flow business.
With recent record quarterly production at Sumeb, the company looks ahead to Krumovgrad, a high-grade open-pit gold mine in southern Bulgaria.
Krumovgrad will be a significant gold producer. We'll produce approximately 100,000 ounces of gold per year. We should be in production in Q1 2019 to deliver the project on budget, on schedule.
Krumovgrad will not only nearly double Dundee's cash flow, it will also change the company's profile in the industry.
Dundee will be about a 350,000 ounce gold equivalent producer. We'll put it in mid-tier range of gold companies.
And there's potential for much more growth in the future at the Timok Gold Project.
We've been exploring in Serbia since about 2005 and essentially have discovered a 2 million ounce sediment-hosted gold deposit.
As far as Rickhouse is concerned, the case for Dundee Precious Metals is a very compelling one.
We already have strong production and cash flow from our Chelopech mine, which last year generated 110 million in EBITDA. Near-term growth and strong cash flow from our new Krumovgrad project. And then organic growth beyond that with our Timok gold project in Serbia. We sit with relatively no debt today, and our share price is relatively undervalued in the market. The future of the company looks fantastic, and I'm very excited by what I see for the future of the company.
It appears to be a future with steadily increasing gold production. Interested to see how that translates on the market? Well, you can follow Dundee Precious Metals on the TSX at DPM. After the break, a gold exploration company soon to become a producer.
It's all coming together with the first pour in the fall.
We'll be right back. You're watching BTV.
Welcome back to BTV. 2019 is the year Victoria Gold has been looking forward to for nearly a decade. The clock is ticking to the opening of Canada's next gold mine. Mining analyst Chris Thompson has been following the company.
We like Victoria because of its management team, very well qualified. We also like the asset, and we do see a value opportunity with the company as it re-rates towards first production Q3 of this year.
We're fully financed and in construction. Construction is about 65% complete and will be in production the fall of this year.
John's a very experienced individual, good track record in the mining industry. He's surrounded himself with a very experienced team. I recognize that this team is amply qualified for delivering on expectations by way of building Eagle Mine.
The main project is Eagle in the Yukon. Geographically, it's about the center of the Yukon. We're currently building a power line, and we'll tie into Yukon Energy's grid and have access to reasonably priced hydroelectric power for the life of the mine. We're really excited about our first gold pour in the fall of this year. It's been 10 years from when we acquired the property. We went through exploration, development, feasibility studies, permitting, financing, and now it's all coming together with the first pour in the fall. It's a project that's in a safe jurisdiction. In full production, we'll produce 200,000 ounces per year at an all-in sustaining cost of less than $750 per ounce. We're in the lower quartile in terms of cost per ounce. It means this little company will be cash flowing over $100 million per year. So a very significant gold producer.
the former CEO of Grey Panther Silver, a company with three producing silver mines, is now heading up a new company called New Range Gold. Let's find out why.
New Range Gold has a unique opportunity in Nevada, which is one of the best jurisdictions in the world to work. And we currently have a district scale project that encompasses the old Pamlico Gold District, which at the time it was in production in the 1800s was one of the highest grade gold districts in Nevada. Consequently, it's never really seen much in the way of modern day exploration. So in a sense, we're starting from an early stage, but we have more than 300 old mine workings on the project. About 8,000 meters of underground tunnels to work from to map and sample, and some very, very high grades scattered around the project. There are some spots with some very coarse visible gold as well. But a lot of the gold is actually very, very fine. I think a lot of it's probably been overlooked in the past. I think what kind of sets New Range apart in a sense is that we have this project that hasn't really been properly explored for a long time, which is quite a unique situation in Nevada. So it's a terrific place to be. We've got excellent infrastructure. We're just off the major highway between Reno and Las Vegas. We have a power line crossing the property. So there's a lot of things going for the project and we're really excited about it.
Coming up next, we asked when and got an answer.
I would expect that we would be seeing gold coming out of the ground at Valentine Lake around the year 2022.
We'll be right back. You're watching BTV.
Welcome back to BTV. In a province nicknamed The Rock, Marathon Gold wasn't the first mining company poking around the property at Valentine Lake in central Newfoundland. But they were the first to figure out that in the rock beneath their feet at Valentine Lake, there is definitely gold, a lot of gold. Marathon Gold's president and CEO explains.
Just didn't really get the work it needed. And when Sherry Dunsworth, the senior VP of exploration, and I saw it, like we just thought, wow, these people don't know what they're dealing with. Now we've got almost 4 million ounces, over 4 million ounces of gold. Two-thirds of that is measured and indicated, and a third of that is inferred at a grade of close to 2 grams, all open pit material, except for a very small amount.
Mining analyst Mick Carew likes what he sees.
We like Marathon Gold because it owns the Valentine Lake Gold project in Newfoundland, which remains one of the very few undeveloped open pitable style gold deposits in North America. It also has a very large land package around the current resources, which we feel adds significant exploration potential to the already 4 million ounces that have been defined so far.
The Valentine Lake property is in the central Greenstone Belt in a district that's seen its share of base metal mining, a big plus for Marathon Gold.
We're in a historic mining district that hosted the Buchan's world-class base metal mine, also the recently shut down Duck Pond mine that Teck had. So a lot of infrastructure was developed through those mines and through some hydroelectric development. So we've taken advantage of that. We have an all-weather road that goes from Millertown, which is the closest town, into the site. We're far enough away from people that we don't bother anybody, but at the same time, we can really get to it easily.
Solid infrastructure and a favorable mining jurisdiction are a great combination.
The Newfoundland government has looked at all their resources and they've looked at oil and gas, which is very important to them. The pulp and paper industry, which is suffering right now. And they said, we want 5 new mines by 2030 in operation. And we're one of them. And they're working with us and with other companies to make that happen. And that's really great to see. It's really good to be in a place where you're not fighting every inch to get permitted.
His work at Marathon Gold is particularly satisfying. Valentine Lake could be the last big mining project Philip Walford oversees.
I am really excited about it because This is a great way to end a career as far as the management end goes, so I'm really happy. There are very few deposits that have this potential, the potential that we have developed. A couple hundred thousand ounces a year for 12 years, that's pretty good, but we think we can do even better than that.
The numbers are impressive, and Mick Carew is equally impressed with the people who've identified them.
They've grown the resource from something like 500,000 ounces in 2010 to approximately 4 million ounces today, during which we've seen some pretty difficult years in terms of junior mining and funding and financing. We feel that the management team have done very well and we're confident in what they're doing.
As infill drilling continues in 2019, the goal is to convert more of the inferred resource to measured and indicated. It's a long road ahead, but Philip Walford has some sense of where it's leading.
In thinking about the progress that we're making in our timetable, I would expect that we would be seeing gold coming out of the ground at Valentine Lake around the year 2022. It's just always been a pleasure working with gold. I like the stuff.
Recent drilling results confirm the continuity of high-grade gold between adjacent drill holes. It's full steam ahead to their next stage of development, a pre-feasibility study.
Before we wrap up, some precious metals advice from this mining analyst.
With respect to gaining precious metals exposure, investors have an array of investment choices, including bullion, ETFs, mutual funds, and precious metals mining stocks. While investors should consult financial and tax advisors who are familiar with their situation, we do think publicly traded equities of metals producers can offer an attractive way to invest, given the disproportionate percentage impact higher commodity prices may have on a company's bottom line and valuation for a given percentage increase in the commodity itself.
Can gold prices continue to sustain an upward trend?
Some analysts say yes, others aren't so sure.
But as always, everyone agrees it's best to stay informed.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us today. For BTV, I'm Jessica Kasprzak.
And I'm Taylor Tone. Until next time, may your portfolio prosper.